Hi, everybody. This is Tristan.
And Sabrina.
And we are here to play the Awakened Living Game, everybody. Staying awake, staying in the flow, staying aligned, and having a beautiful ride. And this is our monthly private call for everybody in the VIP Club and everybody in the Mastery Dojo. And today, we've got something super juicy for you. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we're going to do today, or would you like me to continue to set this up?
Oh, why don't you continue to set it up? I'm sure you have something amazing planned.
I don't.
No?
I'm just going to wing it.
Okay.
The whole call is just wing it.
Good.
We want to.
You know why?
Why?
Because that's, we just are going to get in flow, and we're going to share.
That's true.
As we go.
Share as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Just go, 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 so you can have a lovely ride. Well, you know, there's this word that's been on our mind lately. And maybe it's been on your mind. And
I
maybe
hope not, though.
Well, we hope not, but it does show up from time to time. And it gets in your body, this particular word. And it causes all kinds of havoc.
And it gets in your brains.
It gets in your brains, and it causes disruptions, and it gets you out of flow, and it makes you a little weird. Sometimes you feel like a gremlin.
Steals your life.
It steals your life force. Y'all want to know what the word is? It's a big old W-O-R-R-Y, worry. We were going to call this the power of worry. Unlike the power of life force, worry has a power too.
Yeah.
It's a power that's a destructive power. It can hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were sharing and setting this up over the past couple of weeks, we were looking about how worry has showed up in our lives. And it has come at different points where there was some kind of activating event, right? Something happened that threw us out of flow, threw us out of alignment, and it caused this disruption. You know, we talk a lot about life force and flow here, obviously. And what a lot of people don't know is that when you have a negative emotion or you have a particular belief pattern that gets stuck and you can't seem to get out of it and you do this thing called looping, where you just loop. Sabrina calls them reruns.
Yeah.
You can't end that thought cycle, and then it gets in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this can often be because there was a disruption in your energy system at the time that the thing, let's put air quotes here, the thing happened.
The activating event or
That's
the
right.
activating observation or the activating information.
That's right. And then it causes this cycle where we get stuck in worry. And every time something reminds us of that activating event, boom, we're triggered into a state of worry.
Now, we're not talking about, let's say, we have a massage therapist and she actually comes to your house, right? And she is typically 5 minutes late. So I always get the text right at the time she's supposed to be here that says, always running a few minutes late. And I always text back, don't worry, no worries, it's all good. We're really not talking about that kind of worry. We're talking about the worry where sometimes you can't sleep at night. The kind of worry that I think a lot of, especially women, I think there's a little bit of shame about it. We don't want to be seen as people who are worrying and are negative and are thinking bad thoughts, right? Because most of the people who tend to worry feel deeply.
Yep.
Care deeply for others, don't want bad things to happen to others. And so in an attempt to fix maybe a situation, we get stuck in the loop. And that's the kind of worry that we're talking about, where it's not light and fluffy, it's repetitive, and it starts to have effects on your body.
It breaks your whole health down. It affects your immune system. It affects your muscles. It creates aches and pains. It can lead to all kinds of problems. Now, worry, it can be like a toxic thing that gets stuck in the body. But remember, the body and the mind are completely in cahoots together. Is that the right word, cahoots?
It's good for me.
Is that good for you?
Mm-hmm.
They're doing something together. They're in partnership. So we sometimes, you know, jokingly but not jokingly say body-mind, my body, you know,
mm-hmm.
or spirit-body-mind. It's all one, right? And so when these sticking points happen and it gets trapped in your body, here's what happens. Now, I think you all know this, but I appreciate when Sabrina read some of these studies to me.
Yeah.
It gets my attention.
Right.
And it gives me actually motivation to stay more in flow.
Because we're not just talking about worry to talk about it. We're actually going to move into what we can do about it, how we can flip it into something positive that that really does help the other person that and helps us too. So one of the quotes that I told Tristan was that according to the National Institute of Mental Health, over 18% of American adults suffer from anxiety disorders characterized as excessive worry or tension that often leads to other physical symptoms. Now, that's a lot.
That's
almost 20%. That means almost one in five. And then we were looking at, well, you know, why do we care? Why is it the topic of today's call? Well, because what can it do to your body? Well, it has a negative effect on your health. It makes you more tired, more stressed.
Definitely.
It speeds up the aging process and makes you more prone to, like, medical depression. And when you worry, your body responds to anxiety as the same way it would physical danger.
Let's stop on that for a second. So that's the old piece of rope in the road, and somebody's looking, and they see this thing. It looks like a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, all the alarm signals go off.
Right.
That's worry, right? And we're dumping chemicals from the brain. But it wasn't really a snake.
Right,
okay. All right.
It's the same beautiful thing about the brain, why visualization works. Because the brain doesn't necessarily know if the thought is real or not.
That's right.
So when you're visualizing the really positive things, the reason it changes your brain is your brain doesn't know that you're pretending or daydreaming.
Yep.
Well, it's the same thing when we're worrying. Our body responds to that anxiety the same way it would to physical danger. So when you are exposed to physical danger, your body releases adrenaline and cortisol into the bloodstream because it thinks you need to run, right? Your heart rate increases, your breathing becomes heavier, and you may sweat more. This is probably why at night when you're worrying, you can't sleep because your heart rate is increased.
You're sweating.
Oh,
yeah.
My, I can't stand that.
Seriously. No, I know.
A lot of your skin becomes more flush and red because the blood is moving to the surface. You're literally putting yourself and fight or flight, even if you're just sitting, and to you it might feel like thinking, or part of your brain is saying, I'm just thinking. Unconsciously, your body is preparing itself to run away.
Which isn't a bad thing. It's just that it gets stuck.
No.
It gets stuck and we loop.
Right, and they say that common things that we tend to worry about, money, credit card bills.
It's like the number one stressor,
For me, it's taxes. I'll talk about that later. Relationship problems and stress at work.
Health issues.
Physical problems.
Yeah.
That those are the ones that we tend to get stuck in a loop on.
Yeah. Oh, and don't forget how it affects your digestive system.
Oh, my God. I know it affects mine.
Irritable bowel. It can create all kinds of problems.
Ulcers, constipation, diarrhea. And this also, it makes you more prone to infection because when we're worrying, we're accepting that stress and that anxiety, and it lowers our immune system. It makes you more susceptible to colds and more serious illnesses. So when you worry, your immune system never has time to recover, right? So it thinks it's recovering from a physical demand. It thinks it's trying to get over some life-threatening situation. It never has time to recover. And then not only how does it affect your body, how does it affect your brain, right? They say it makes it hard to concentrate on one task because you're using all that brain power to worry. But the main thing is having difficulty falling asleep and suffering from insomnia. It also can make you absent-minded, having symptoms of dementia, probably, again, because you're using up that brain power thinking about something that isn't really happening. It's almost like bad daydreaming.
Yeah.
So you know, those were just some of the things that we were looking at, like what on the outside can worry? How can it affect our body? How can it affect our brain? But more than that, to me, it changes the quality of your life.
It shortens your life, too. But here's what's interesting and why we're bringing this up. In this day and age, this modern day and age, it's fast-paced, right? We've got this information overload. We've got a lot of concerns. We have a lot of things that we can worry about where our brains are trying to upgrade and handle all this new information. You're receiving more information than your brain has ever received before, right? And there's so much that we're trying to do that it causes stress, which then leads to more worry. And so in this modern day living, it's really important to, I think, catch it and realize, wait a minute, mm-hmm. we're accepting this as the norm, and people are saying, it's just the way it is now. You know, there's nothing I can do about it. It's not going to slow down or go away.
Right.
But we do have some tools. We have some things, some strategies, all of us as humans, that we can do to combat this, if you will. And it's really important, I think. It's sort of like you're living in a neighborhood and you don't realize that some bad people moved in the area, and you need to be more aware so that you don't get, you know, jacked. So let's make sure we're not getting jacked up by all this worry, and that we're, you know, we're maybe wondering, why is this health condition not going away? Why am I struggling at work? Why am I battling with my finances? And how is that affected by worry?
And worry, the way that we're talking about worry is possible threats.
Yeah.
Right? So we were laughing before the call. You know, there might be a situation, and we saw this example, like you are half hour late for work every day for 3 weeks, and you can say, I'm worried I might get fired. You should be worried that you're going to get fired. You're probably going to get fired. But then that's not a possible threat. That's like something that might really be a result of the actions you are taking. So then guess what? You go to your boss and you say, you know what, I've been late. I think I'm going to work this weekend and next weekend, and I'm going to stop being late. And then you shouldn't have to worry anymore. We're talking about the possible threats, the ones that are kind of made up, like I worry about, for some reason, taxes, and I think it's because somehow the role of getting everything ready for taxes fell on my lap, and I'm not educated in it. Oh, there's a sound.
There is?
There was.
Maybe a line or something.
That's Mary.
Thank you.
Okay, so, and I think it's because I don't know all the rules. I'm probably going to get in trouble. I'm probably going to get audited. I'm not going to have all my receipts. I'm going to bring our business down. I shouldn't be the one doing this. Like, I have all this, like, stuff that I make up. And, you know, when I take this stuff to our accountant, I have everything they need. I got a bookkeeper. So even though I've taken the steps that I need to take in order to let go of that worry, that's one that seems to be a challenge for me, right? There's certain times a year that I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the morning laying in bed thinking, what's franchise tax? Do I need to deal with that letter that came in the mail? Like all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of worry, the kind that we're kind of making up.
Well, now here's where the call gets interesting. So many of us.
They should just fast forward to here on the replay.
No, this is a moment of like, hey, wait a minute. I'm hoping that a light bulb's going to pop here, because we are all doing our personal development work. We're all upgrading our thoughts. We're here because we want to live healthy, conscious, awakened lives, right? I mean, that's why I'm here. And I'm looking to learn and to grow and to evolve. And, you know, I don't consider myself a worrier, right? But worry does show up. And it shows up in all of our lives. So the point I was making earlier was, you know, just be aware that it may have snuck in below the radar, and you haven't even noticed that there's some worry going on in your tissues, in your mind, because it's the new norm.
Yep.
And I want to catch it, first of all, and wait a minute, this isn't natural. And then the second question is, well, with all the personal development I've done, why does this habit still show up? Why is there still worry? And what we've come to realize is it has to do with energy. It has to do with energy flow. And when energy flow becomes disrupted, it creates these patterns, these energetic patterns that keep us stuck in these mental, emotional states. So think about this for a moment. Your energetic vibration causes thoughts. Vibrations become thoughts, and thoughts become things. So when energy or vibration or frequency is disrupted, meaning some activating event of some sort that you might not even be remembering right now, and we can look at this in a psychological plane as well, but let's look at it energetically. When there is some kind of disruption in your system, there's a blockage, your channels are off, your chakras are off, your energy centers are depleting, the wiring has been like plugged the wrong way, energy's not flowing in the right direction through the meridian lines, you will perpetuate these emotional states. Now remember, emotions are how we read our energy. Somebody asked the other day about the map. Why isn't emotions on the map? Emotions is on the map. It's the infinity sign. That is your emotional system. You can feel emotions in your body. You can feel emotions in your heart center, and you can feel emotions in your mind. Emotions are how we read the flow of our energy. So when energy is disrupted, it will register as negative emotions. And remember, negative emotions, because of the mind-body psychosoma connection, will eventually cause physical problems in the body or physical problems in your life, right? So if we go back to the root cause, these energy disruptions, these blockages, these out-of-alignment flow issues may be the very thing that people are missing. And so in oftentimes personal development, we look to change our thoughts. We use affirmations. We use visualizations. We do all this great stuff. And we're doing it usually at a cognitive level and hoping that the deeper subconscious layer, we all know that's where you affect emotions the deepest, at that deeper limbic level, that's where we need to upgrade, right? Yes, yes, and yes. But if you have disrupted energy, you're going to keep getting bounced out of that. You're going to wonder, why am I doing so much work, but I'm not getting ahead? It's because the energy system hasn't been addressed. And this is why when you look at the Satori map and you look at those dashes across through the center of the map and the bottom half is slightly grayed out, it says sub-awareness. These are the areas of personal development that are, most people aren't aware of. And what are they? The subconscious layer and the energetic body layer. This, my friends, is where we get the big shift. And that's why I said, ooh, it's about to get super interesting, because we're going to move the conversation to this. So, Sabrina, I know it's really, really important for us to catch these activating events. If possible, go back to when the first one happened. And that activating event caused that energetic disruption, and that energetic disruption, that frequency, led to negative thinking, and now I get caught in these negative thinking patterns, right, and I'm continuing to worry. So if I could clear some of those blockages, that would help me release those frozen, blocked thinking patterns, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah, I think you could say the same thing about a recurring dream.
Okay.
Right? If something happened to you, even if it was 10 years ago, that was, kind of devastating, but more, for me, scary. Like, I had a situation where this guy chased me and I got away. I never thought about, after a couple of years, I didn't think about that again. But 15 years later, I noticed that if I have a bad dream, I always hear footsteps of somebody running behind me. I always would hear somebody breathing behind me. I would always hear, it was always that. And so if I was going from the mall to get in my car, yes, I should be smart and look at my surroundings and my environment and be aware and don't park places that are scary and don't go alone at night. But this constant carrying of a fear that someone is coming to get me, that's like the deep-rooted cause of many, 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 many years of worrying. Like, for many years, I've been afraid, and I still don't care for it, if I have to be the one that rolls our trash can from the garage to the curb. It's just down the driveway to the curb if it's after dark. And if it's like at 10 o'clock at night, for some reason, I always think that there's a man out there, a bad man. And again, there's the smart cognitive mind that says, Tristan should do it. Or
okay, and I will.
Our turn, but the part of me that, if it affects my physical body where I shake a little and I do feel my heart rate go up and I get scared and I run back in the house, right? First of all, I'm not going to be good at creating defenses against an attacker if I'm already that whacked out. So I was carrying that trigger from the past. Therefore, I would worry about it happening again and again and again and again because it happened once, right? So if someone you know had a symptom and then they ended up having cancer, let's say, and they died of cancer, and then if you ever have that symptom yourself or anyone you know has a symptom similar to it, it's just natural that your mind is going to think that it could be cancer and start worrying about that person having cancer. Now, if you thought, oh, wow, that is a symptom of that kind of cancer, and you say to that person, hey, I really want you to go to the doctor, if it's your business, I really want you to go to the doctor and have that checked out because so-and-so, my friend, ended up having this certain kind of cancer when they had that symptom, so you should go check it out. Then the worrying is done because you took action based on something real rather than like this imaginary cycle of thoughts that just goes round and round and round. It's kind of tricky to talk about it because we're not saying pretend what is isn't, but we are responsible for the label that we put on it. Because the label that we put on it during that energetic disruption, the belief that we have about it, the judgment that we put on it, is going to trigger the cascade of thoughts versus actions. I think that in this lifetime, one of my biggest challenges has been to not be a nervous worrier. I had a lot of digestion problems as a little kid. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 years old, thought I had an ulcer. Anytime there was a I threw up the first day of school every year. I had diarrhea every time a project was due. Really, really nervous, high-strung, not good enough, worry, worry, worry. I remember trying to fall asleep, clearly I remember, at 7 years old. And I would describe it as feeling like I needed to burp but couldn't, but it was because my stomach hurt because I was worried about was I going to wear the right thing to school the next day and the cool kids and who am I going to walk to school with? And I have to carry my lunch tray from all the way on that side of the cafeteria to the other. And what if I drop it? And if I step on a crack, I'm going to break my mother's back. Like, it was just so much stuff. And so this is something that I've had to really work on. And that's why I created the rule, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, that's called no reruns. And when something happens, let's say for me it's usually like a relationship thing with somebody where they say something or do something and I don't like it or I don't understand it or it just doesn't feel good. Like actually I just got an email today from a really good friend and what they asked of us seemed kind of like yucky, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that seems selfish. Why would he ask us to do that? And I'm allowed to think that once and then to just say, well, he probably doesn't understand what he's asking. I just need to give him the information and tell him my point of view. And that's it. It is a complete waste of my time to think about that again before I speak to him. A complete waste of my life. A complete waste of my life to think about it because I already thought about it and I processed it. And I don't want to have elevated heart rate and premature aging and more wrinkles on my face and digestion problems and or to create that fight or flight. And that has so served me well, having that discipline to say no reruns. Now, I could say that to somebody, and I have, and they say, I can't help it. So that would bring up the topic of sort of like the two brains, right? The subconscious brain versus the conscious that's in the map. And when we do worry, it kind of becomes a habit, right? It's what we worry about. Some people are always worried about their weight. Some people are always worried about a relationship, whatever it is. You know, it's crazy what we worry about. But it becomes such a habit that it is in the subconscious mind. And so when we say, I can't stop, it's because it has gotten into almost who you are, into your thoughts, and you're going to have to use the conscious mind and choose to focus the conscious mind on something else because you can only think about one thing at a time, right? And that's where all of the mindset and the erase and replace and the mindset tools that we have.
That's
because when you're focused on that, you can't be worrying at the same time, because you can't really have two thoughts at the same time. And just that consistency of bringing it back to what you do want to focus on.
I love that you brought up those mindset tools, because those really are right out of the system that we teach here at Satori. We call it mental kung fu. And here's why I think this makes such a big difference. We're talking about these energetic disruptions, and we're talking about what's going on in the brain through worry and belief, and we could get into what's happening at a chemical level with neuropeptide release and the addiction that we have to these particular habits. We can talk about cyber-psychonetic mechanisms at a psychological level, where there's a programming like a temperature thermostat, and we keep returning back to that. We can talk about neural networks and how those neural networks are nerves that fire and wire together, and they keep us stuck in habits, right? There's many different schools of thinking that we can look into, and whichever one helps you break free is the best one for you. And ultimately, it's about using the tools that are working, right? Affirmations, visualizations, movement, cognitive therapy, whatever it is, you've got to find the right tool for you. But I would highly encourage everyone to get their energy right. And if you're going through mental kung fu, and we're going to be teaching this at a deeper level in the dojo soon, but you all know, if you've heard of this, that you have to first catch it, right? You have to notice that you're worrying, that you're in a loop, that you're looping, if you will, that something is going on that's keeping you awake at night. Something is going on that's keeping that pain in your neck, right? You're feeding it, mind, body, feeding it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to have that pattern interrupt. You kind of have to refute it and go, wait a minute, whoa. Hang on, you know, I'm looping right now. What do I need to do here? Well, I got to stop believing that this is the answer, because sometimes we think worrying's the answer, right? Like, right. But I worry about you because I love you.
Right.
Right.
I always say, please don't, because that's like praying for something bad to happen to me.
It's really not a nice prayer, and you're repeating it over and over, and it's totally stuck. I used to worry so much, and I had to refute it and catch it, right? But then what do we teach? We teach releasing. Now, when we're talking about releasing, we're talking about releasing the blockages that are causing the disruptions in your energy flow. This whole thing is about flow. When you get back into flow, you get back into alignment. When you're in alignment, you remember. Let's focus in on this for a second. What is remember? Remember is your Satori. It's when you go, oh, wait a minute. I was in this dream. I was in this drama. I was in this worry thing. This isn't my natural state.
Victim, usually.
Exactly. My natural state is to find a solution. My natural state is to breathe and relax and trust. My natural state is to respond rather than react.
Right.
Right? My natural state is to say, oh, wow, I should change this particular thing I'm doing. It's not serving me or the other. And so you have this incredible remembering because you got your energy lined up right. Then you can go in and start doing the mindset part, where you're doing the reprogramming or the replacing, we say. Now you can upgrade your thinking. You can upgrade eventually your identity. Here's what's really interesting. If you want to change your story, you have to be consistent. There's only two ways that you can really upgrade. One is with a highly charged emotional trigger, and the other is with repetition. Most people have a hard time with continual repetitive do right action, do right action, say this affirmation, visualize this, and get it done, because repetition is what puts it at the deeper level of the mind. Now, if you're consistent, you have good rituals, and you're on track, and you have community, and you have accountability partners, and Buddha buddies, and you have all this stuff in play.
And it's repetition with belief.
Absolutely. We're going to pitch to you to talk about that in a second, because that's so important. Because it's got to be the right repetition. It can't be, oh, I did that for 5 minutes today, and then the other, you know, 23 hours and 55 minutes, you worried, right? You have to really upgrade. Now, that's hard. Here's the thing about an emotional trigger. When you can get into a highly charged emotional state and you put new information in, it sticks because you're in a highly charged, but usually those highly charged emotional states are activating events that are traumatic. And so that's why things get stuck in our mind and in our energy field and in our tissues at a cellular level, and we freaking loop because we were in. So we can use that to our advantage, though. Can you put yourself in a highly emotionally charged state?
Of joy.
yeah, the why that makes you cry, when you look at, like, let's say your Satori storybook or some emotional, beautiful thing you're having with a person, and you go, this is it, and you anchor that in, that is the fastest way to change. And the fastest way to get to that state, get your energy flying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, mic drop.
Hand me the mic. Sometimes for me, at the end of a movement, I feel very joyful. I feel completely different than I did before an exercise session, a wacky workout, a Qigong session. And that is a great moment to remember the reality that I want and to access the solution, right? Because when I made up for myself no reruns, and I had to do that. I mean, looking right now, I think, well, that was a brilliant thing for someone in their 20s, early 20s to say. I had to. I was driving myself nuts. I was a little rerun machine, right? I was rerunning this stuff more than Seinfeld episodes, more than, like, Shark Tank has to get its own channel because it shows so many reruns. That was me. I had all sorts of reruns, and I was in L.A., and I was auditioning for TV shows, so there was so much to worry about. What did the casting director think about me? Am I going to get called back? I've got to meet the producers. Am I good enough? Am I tall enough? Am I thin enough? Am I smart enough? Am I fat enough? Am I short enough? Go into an audition to be opposite Michael J. Fox, and there's a line on the wall, and you have to walk past it and be shorter than the line. I'm like, oh, I got to be. How am I going to be shorter than the line? I worry about that, right? It's everything. Worry, worry, worry. And, you know, a lot of it for me was just that wanting to be better, wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted, wanting to feel like I was great at something so that I would have value in the world. That's my own story right there. But so if you're not going to worry about something, then I had to find something to do. And that's when I became more action-oriented. Right? Okay, I have to be as short as Michael J. Fox, who is 5'4½", and so am I. Well, I'm going to wear flats, and I'm not going to tease my hair at all, and I'm going to have kind of bad posture as I walk by the line, and that's all I can do. That's it. It's done. Right? I can't think about it anymore. I can't get shorter by tomorrow. Right? And so whatever it is that I'm worried about, with the taxes and things. So I just have to, sometimes I get up and I write something down. I got to call I'm actually meeting our bookkeeper tomorrow morning. She's taking a yoga class near our house. I'm meeting her at noon to pass up the stuff so she can update the books so that the accountant that we just got this past year. So I'm taking action steps because I'm tired of giving up hours of sleep, feeling that I can't do something. So I don't have to learn to do it. I'm going to let somebody else do it.
Totally.
So to me, that's been key, but it takes that being able to calm and soothe and get into flow so that I can break the cycle. They say that the journey from emotion to the brain is faster than brain to the emotion, meaning that we're wired just for survival, that when something upsets us, it trumps our emotional brain trumps with speed the rational brain. And you can totally see why that would be for survival, right? If you're about to hit the car in front of you stops suddenly and you need to be like, and slam on your brakes, you don't have time to go, I believe that car is slowing down. And in a moment, I shall press my brake so I do not hit them, right? Bam, you were just in a crash.
Yep.
Right? So in that case, it's great. But when it gets into the cycle and the looping where it's hurting our health and it's stealing moments of our life, and it's actually hurting relationships that you have with people, because no one wants to be around a worry wart.
No.
Right? We want to bring people's energy up. And I know a lot of you are coaches, so you probably deal with many clients who come in where it's like the same, they tell you the same thing this week that they told you last week because it's stuck in a cycle.
Totally.
So yeah. I would suggest, you know, it's the action steps to me that has helped make the shift. And from those action steps, you move into a different energetic frequency, and you see the hope, and you see the possibility.
That's it.
You know, was it Marie Folio? She says, everything is figure-outable, right? Everything is fixable. There is some type of solution for everything. It might not be the one that you want, right? But it's the essence of life, and here's the big one. Okay, here's where it's going to get good.
It's
going to
get really interesting about right now.
I think that my worrying is my need to be in control.
Oof. Who are you trying to control? Everything?
Everything. So that I feel safe.
Well, that's it. I just wrote this down and wanted to share, and it ties to that direct. Worrying.
Of course you did.
You know, I'm in alignment. This is Trisperina. Come on. Worry is a strategy trying to help protect you. It's not at its root coming from a bad place. It's just a bad strategy. It's your survival instinct, just like you're saying, to be in control. That's an instinct to guard and protect oneself. Worry is an extension of that. It's just a am I allowed to say crappy?
Crappy, yeah.
Crappy's okay. It's a crappy strategy. So we really do need to go back to the drawing board and catch it. You have to first be willing to catch it, and that's why we spent time in the beginning talking to you about the negative effects of worry, and actually just to even, like, head up, like, oh, yeah, this is going on, and I wasn't even paying attention. I'm kind of living a worry, you know, thinking thing over here. It's got me.
Yeah.
And I haven't noticed it because I haven't been – everybody else is worrying too. It's just
imagine
the
all the
things.
Stuff we could get done if we weren't
if we
worrying.
Weren't freaking worrying. It's like driving with the brakes on. So step one is just to catch it, and you have to care enough to catch it. It's almost like the shadow of the axe, right? It's like if you continue down that path of worry, your life just gets shorter every day. You make your body break down faster. You're going to get sick more often. You're going to be more reactive and therefore less joy in your life. That's going to cause you to not make as much money. All of a sudden, worrying is like a bad idea. I'm going to catch it,
yeah.
And I'm going to course correct it.
Well, in that book, Dying to Be Me.
Well, I want to get into that. But if you're going to course correct it, you got to refute it. You got to be like, okay, thank you, strategy. I know you're trying to protect me, and there's a level of control, and that's not bad, but let's find another way, right? What's a better way? First, I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to release this energy that's getting stuck in my body. I got to break the habit, right? Because that whole looping thing, I mean, I got a very interesting diagram on how that works. If you do some kind of Qigong, if you tap on your body, if you do the rebounding, the bouncing, the shaking, the flowing, the breathing, the vagus nerve toning, all those things fix your energy system.
Right.
EFT, all of it, all you pick one, fix it, and here's the key. When you are back in flow, alignment will be natural. You will remember. You'll move naturally into remembering. Ah, here's where my true power lies. Now I'm thinking consciously. I'm making choices not from worry or fear. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked above, you know, I think it was Joanna, yeah. Can you explain the difference between worry and fear? They are the same vibration, right? Fear is a, like a universal word that we use for being out of alignment, right? So worry is an aspect of fear. Most people think that fear is like just, oh my God, I'm scared. Fear can be a bully chasing someone. That's fear too.
They're partners, and there is a sameness to them with the example of me taking out the trash. I'm worried that maybe there's a bad man out there, right?
That's
because I'm worried about that, I start getting scared. I notice, you know, I can run so fast pushing that giant trash can. But the opposite is also true. Because I'm scared that there's a bad man that's going to come and get me, I worry. Is he hiding? Is he behind the car? Is he in the back seat? Oh, they said that that man's at the mall and he's getting in people's cars, so don't get in until you look. You know, that's the worrying that makes me
afraid. So you know what you're doing there, anyone that's doing this, if you follow mental kung fu, it's so clear. You're not replacing. You're just continuing to write that storyline.
Yeah.
And then guess what? You're radiating. Now we can talk law of attraction. You start thinking that, putting that out, putting that out, putting that out. Guess what's coming back to you?
Well, you're praying for it.
You're praying for it. You're putting that energetic signal out, and the universe is listening.
Yeah.
It's listening. Yeah. So if you don't catch it, refute it, release it, then remember and reframe it, you're screwed. Literally, you will keep repeating the
but
same
don't,
thing.
But don't worry about being screwed. No.
Because if you fix your energy and you get back in flow and you get back in alignment,
yes.
And I think in a way we should be really like, hey, whoa, this is important, because you know what? There are some people that live in this vicious cycle of worry.
So many.
And they don't get out of it for the entire lifetime. To the last breath, they worried.
Yeah.
That's sad. Don't let that happen to you.
Yeah.
Don't be that person.
You know, and when we think, well, when I said a minute ago that I know that a lot of my worrying is this fear of feeling out of control, right, which means I'm not safe, right? I only feel safe when I have all the information and things are happening in the way I think they should. That's when I feel safe. So I worry when something happens that it wasn't part of my plan. It's not the way that I think it should be, therefore I feel out of control and unsafe. Well, if I move it into more of my spiritual practice, where I am a vessel for the universe to work through, where only through us can the divine manifest, create, then I need to be of service. And instead of just sitting and worrying, I'm part of the solution.
Yeah.
I'm being asked, because I'm seeing a situation, how may I serve?
Mm.
Be love, serve love, make a difference. That would be the opposite of just sitting and worrying. Be love, serve love, make a difference. Now, sometimes we get so in the habit of worrying that it just becomes, I've been hurt so many times, I'm just going to go ahead and see the negative possibility in everything so I can't be disappointed.
Yep.
I've actually talked to a lot of people that feel that way, and I have it in some weird stuff. You know, I've been that person disappointed me, right? So in relationships, I'm just going to assume that most men are going to be like that, because if I hope for more, I'm probably just going to get disappointed again. And underneath that is this worry that the person I'm with is going to do that thing again, right? Or, you know, whatever it is, it's based on that it's better to just think the worst right now so that when it happens, I'm ready.
Oh, gosh, that's another terrible strategy. The mind has these terrible strategies. This is why personal development is so important. We got to upgrade these strategies.
Well, and it's because, and I know this is sounding familiar, right? Well, I'm not going to pretend things are different than
right.
they are.
Yeah.
Right. I'm worrying about it because it is bad. So I'm going to sit here and think about it. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to think about it. And what?
I would love for you to take this into, we have to superimpose upon what we think is reality,
mm-hmm.
what we choose to be reality. Because this is where the rubber meets the road right here.
Yeah,
are you
going to
get out of this?
Mm-hmm. Because I was started to say, you could feel like the worrier part of you that says, I'm just thinking about what is.
Right.
Right.
This is reality.
But remember, there was an activating event that caused a disruption, and we made a belief about it.
Yep.
Right? We
yep.
created a belief. We chose that belief. We chose that judgment that now is creating the worry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We decided how we feel about that. The rope in the road. Is it a rope or is it a snake? It might be a snake, but how we chose to think about the snake is up to us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if somebody told me, well, pretend it's a rope, I'd be like, it's a snake.
Yeah.
I see it's a snake, it's a snake. A snake is a snake, and I should be afraid of a snake, and I should worry about a snake. Now, yes, if it's a snake, say it's a snake, but you've got to be able to say it's a snake without bringing all that garbage to it from the past, and just let it be a snake. But then you say, I'm going to move it out of the road. I'm going to call the city to remove it. It's not poisonous. Why is anybody making such a big deal out of that snake? Right? You got to find a thought that isn't so charged. But that's a really big one. So you could think of it like this. You're watching an episode of Friends, right? No, you're watching a scary show, CSI Miami, and you're watching it. And there's bad people doing bad things. There's this man, he's taking girls and he's tying them up and he's putting them in his underground bunker and he's making these chemicals. He's going to cut their toes off because something happened to him when he was a kid. And you're seeing that episode and it's like somebody's telling you, well, pretend you're watching an episode of Friends. And the brain's like, no, it's CSI, it's not Friends. And that's where it takes the ability to find the root of what is the belief that it's CSI, and you've got to be more powerful in overriding the thought and saying, it's just friends. They're having a pedicure. They're not getting their toes cut off, right? So you will feel at times, you can feel like a liar, and that's when you're rewiring, when you're going from this is a bad thing to yep. this is a solution, I can solve this, to this is not solvable, to it's figure outable. Now, I'm not saying, one of my students just found out her King Charles Cavalier dog that's a little younger than Bentley is not going to make it through the year because he has the heart disease that breed really, really has. So I'm not telling her, pretend your dog is going to live forever.
Right?
It's the what can be done about it. It's the cherishing the time she does have with her dog. It's how can she make her dog more comfortable. It's solution-oriented.
And holding the space for something to shift.
Yeah.
Or for that extension of life.
Mm-hmm.
Holding the space for the magic.
That's right.
Why not?
That's right.
Right? Because the mind is so limited, even in its control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, because of its control, it's yep. so limited. This is a magical universe. You know, when we open up to greater things, to possibilities, to the depth of potential, even in a King Charles, you know, it's so interesting, isn't it, with patterns, and even we've been talking about DNA lately and a little bit about what Don Clark's work is doing, the reason that we support it, is because whatever it takes for you to realize that there are patterns, whether they've been passed on from generation to generation, and you start studying things like epigenetics, everything is basically saying, do the work.
Yep.
You know, like figure out a reason that it inspires you to do the work. But when you look at the brain scientists, the neuroscientists, the DNA scientists, everybody, what do they tell you to do? Breathe, meditate.
Yeah.
Get enough sleep, exercise, stay positive. There's nothing new. It's not like rocket, science here. It's just trying to find ways to educate people so they'll do the work.
And because everything's so connected, like Dawn Clark, what she teaches is transgenerational epigenetics, the study that they did with these mice where they, when they smelled cherry blossoms, they also stimulated them in a bad way. And for six generations, the mice, the children of the children of the children,
the offspring, yeah,
would run when they would smell cherry blossoms.
Wasn't there before.
And so you have to be compassionate with yourself because we all have these habits of what we've been doing forever.
Yeah,
but
karmic.
They're saying that these patterns can be passed down.
Right.
You know, many of us are our parents or our grandparents or
worry could be passed on.
Right. They were in the Depression.
Right.
They struggled for money.
That's right.
They were in war. There was, you know, there's been a lot of things that historically, you know, depending on, you know, are you of Jewish descent? I mean, there's just no telling what has been passed down.
Through the DNA, through
and
the cells.
And to know that is there, but it's the same thing as changing the brain. When you change the brain, you actually change the DNA or vice versa. And that's what Tristan was saying, was the same modalities that we use that fix your energy. When you fix your energy, your brain changes, your DNA changes. It's all connected. It's in the map. It's in the flow. It's part of the infinity.
And this is why, and you brought Anita's name up before, Dying to Be Me, mm-hmm. Anita Morjani. When somebody, she had an out-of-body experience where her body was incredibly sick with cancer, and she left the body, the physical principle.
She was in a coma.
Right.
For so 7 minutes?
Her essence, if you will, her consciousness left the body and was witnessing not only the body but the doctors down the hallway and people talking about her condition, et cetera, et cetera. But she had Satori. She had a Satori-like experience where she saw the root cause of the body's condition was vibrational frequency. She was worrying about how her father would something that was going on with her life and her relationship with her father.
And religion. She was
and religion.
Hindu, but in a Christian
there was
church.
All this worry that was causing dis-ease, right, disruption in her system, in her energy flow, which led to a physical outcropping of what was called cancer. Now, when she saw, now just catch this for a moment, because we're talking DNA, we're talking cells, we're talking energy, we're talking mindset. When you realize, which she did, that that way of thinking, which is a vibration, was causing this physical outcome, she dissolved that way of thinking. She woke up. She remembered her true flow and alignment. And what followed was a complete rebuilding of the body at a cellular level. And this has happened to other people, where the dis-ease or disease vanished. And right. It's a medical miracle and all of that. Now, some people have done it, you know, through positive thinking and herbs and all these, because they believe that what they're doing is going to work. They are shifting their vibrational set point. And this is what changes the cell. So if someone says, well, it's in my DNA, or it's been passed down throughout generations, or you can use whatever the thing is, the reality is vibration rules. So if you fix your vibration, you fix your life.
If you haven't read that book, there's some short YouTube videos you can look, Dying to Be Me. She actually had a fear of getting cancer. So she had a fear of getting cancer, and the moment that Tristan's talking about, she had been in a coma. It was stage 4. She only weighed 71 pounds,
yep.
And she was clinically dead.
They declared her dead?
Yes.
Okay.
And she said that she was shown or had a conversation beyond words. Well, first of all, she said it was the most magnificent experience of her life. She actually calls God the Magnificent.
I love that.
Which, yeah, we love that. And she said that she was shown that the cancer itself was her fear of cancer.
It's her thought.
That's what the tumors were, and that she was given the choice of whether to come back, she had children, or move on, and that she chose to come back. And so she kind of woke up from the coma. Now, of course, the doctors think she's still 71 pounds and she just is going to live for another day or so, and she's trying to tell them that she no longer has cancer, like right there in the moment.
Right.
And what's documenting her case scientifically, and there's a lot of data on it where she said that. And they said, well, no, you have cancer. It's all over your body. And she said, I don't. And it was in a very short amount of time, I want to say it was 10 days, her body no longer had any cancer in it. It dissolved that fast, and she said that she couldn't have it anymore because she no longer believed it, that she saw what had created it. So that was, it's a really amazing, amazing story. She's actually friends with our friend Natalie Ledwell, and she says the only sad part about the whole thing is the more time that passes from the event happening, the harder and harder it is for her to remember how magnificent it was, and that that's part of the human experience, is you don't have that ability to contain the great amount of love that she experienced when she was declared dead.
It's amazing. So let's recap. okay? Just a quick overview. What's going on here? We all know that worry is a bad strategy. It's a part of us that's trying to help us, but it's just not that effective. We've discussed that there could be a healthy, positive side to it if we quickly reframe it and turn worry into awareness. Ah, I'm paying attention. My survival instinct's not bad. When you flinch to throw your hands up to protect your head, the command center, that's your biology. That's your DNA trying to help you survive. Let's not judge that. Let's be grateful to it. So in a way, if we can, now if you shut down, if you flinch and your hands go, and you go, oh, you shut down, my God, you can't do anything, that is negative flinch, negative fear. But if your hands fly up quickly and then you do something to protect yourself and move away from danger, it's a really good thing. So let's reconvert, if you will, worry, like we convert a flinch into something positive. Let's convert worry now moving forward into something positive. Lean into and go, oh, thank you, nervous system. Thank you, control mechanism within, for trying to protect me. You have my attention, and now I will step in and do the rest of the driving here. Pretty much, right? Go ahead.
No, I just got a text message from Rita that said, take the trash out before dark.
Oh, my gosh, because if we don't do it before it gets dark, we won't be able to do it. So point in case, or case in point. So reframe and tweak your worry mechanism into something useful and helpful. If you're a looper, meaning someone who bounces back and forth between I'm positive and then I forget, and I'm positive and I forget, looping slightly different. But if you're a bouncer or a looper, then you must pattern interrupt, you must catch it, and then you got to do the work to refute it and look at it and go, okay, wait a minute, this strategy's not the best. Let me find a new way. I'm going to get back into flow because this worry has disrupted my energy system. It will perpetuate these negative outcomes, emotional / physical, and then I'm going to remember who I am. And I want to add one thing that we didn't necessarily talk about today, but this is always the premise. If you go all the way back, before whatever the activating event is, we feel, and this is just the way we look at it, that everything is the divine designing and orchestrating our wake-up. Everything is trying to help us remember who we are. So whatever these mechanisms are that show up, or these so-called activating events, you can use them to grow and to wake up. That's what we would recommend, because that's very empowering rather than feeling like the victim of something that happened to you. Even, it doesn't matter how long ago it was, you can still use it today. Hear me now. Doesn't matter how long ago it was, and I know some bad, bad stuff has happened in different people's lives, and I'm not saying, you know, that it was like a good thing, but you can still use it as a catalyst to evolve, right? Like really get that within yourself. I can use this. I will find a way to empower myself, as gnarly as it was. That will lift your energy and shift your energy, just that alone, right? When my back was messed up and the only thing that shifted my energy was I will use this to help others. Mm-hmm. That's what shifted it for me. So we've talked about all of this. At the end of the day, is to wake us up. And that's why at that point in mental kung fu, we're choosing to remember, who am I? Who am I? Why could this possibly be showing up for me? And from that, who am I, the true, real you, you come up with the most amazing solutions, and because you're back in flow and alignment. Now you upgrade your mind. You get rid of those old negative thought habits, get rid of those looping patterns, and you put new ones in place so that you are sending out a beautiful signal. You're radiating, step six, you're radiating this beautiful signal, and the universe is mirroring and upgrading your life. And the last thing that I'll say, and then I'll let Sabrina close us down, is that when an activating event happens, I want you to think that, or even write this down, write down activating event, and then put like a little arrow, energy disruption. Something happened to your energy system. Now, that energy disruption may have been a little blip on the radar. If it was a little blip, then the next thing that follows probably won't be as much of a charge for you. and will probably dissolve much quicker, right? There have been things that have happened in our lives. We didn't have a big emotional charge, and they didn't stick. But if they had a big energetic disruption charge, then it leads to some kind of mental slash emotional issue. Now, that mental emotional issue, as long as it keeps going, if it becomes chronic, will lead to a physical issue because body-mind connection. Emotions now cause problems. They cause more dis-ease in the physical form. So then you write arrow from energy disruption, mental emotional issue. Write another arrow, physical issue or bad feeling, because feelings are physical. They show up in the body. So now you have this feeling, oh, when this thing happens, I feel bad. You might call that a negative emotion as well. It's still in the physical. And you put another arrow. Now, this is life giving you feedback. You basically, you notice this thing shows up in your body, and you go, yep, I've got this problem. Yep, I have this negative emotion. Yep, this is how my life is. And you know what that does? That becomes its own activating event, which causes another energetic disruption. This is looping. This is why you get stuck. And until you fix your energy, you'll get stuck in a looping mechanism. That's it for me.
Good job.
Good job, Sabrina.
You know, as you were saying it, I was saying what you're explaining is about worrying, but at the same time, there might be an activating event on the flip side of the coin that causes you tremendous joy, great happiness, great abundance,
yes.
Right? And you have all this positivity, and you can see where sometimes when somebody, you know, like they get a break, and then all of a sudden it seems like everything starts falling into place for them, and this happens, and that happens, and this happens. Like the overnight success, the actor that doesn't work for like 15 years, and then they get one job and another, and then they win an Academy Award. It's because they had an activating event that helped to shift their energy into one of more positivity or more abundance. You see the same thing with somebody who has been sick, and then maybe because of that sickness, they really got into health and they got really excited about it. They almost became a fanatic about it. And then they start teaching health. So this same theory, not a theory, it's a fact, that when you allow yourself to really have this emotion that happens, it gets burned so deeply into the subconscious, the negative ones, the fearful ones, and the positive ones. So you want to input those positive ones. You want to input those happy ones. That's why, you know, with those of you that work out with us and we're silly and we're wacky and we're playful,
yeah.
So that those are the, it's a joyful thing to move the body. It becomes associated with pleasure and fun. So you can use this biology to your advantage as well.
Well, we hope and we pray and we project that you have been transformed by this session and that light bulbs have gone off for you and reminders and just more of, I love the work that I'm doing in my life. I love the path that I've chosen. Ah, yes, stay on track. Ooh, little nuance there. Never looked at it through that lens. Ah, it's just little shifts at a certain point that keep you evolving.
And when you release that, like maybe it's just this little thing you worry about. That's not really that big a deal. I just worry about that, you know, when I take that class I go to once a week. But when you stop just that one little thing, it might be the doorway to huge amounts of freedom. Where it doesn't, you know, that little contraction in the hose of flow, that one little place that the hose is small, when you can open that up, it can flow so much more.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to go ahead and do what we do and finish our session, and you all know to stick around if you'd like. Okay, here we go.
End the recording?
Yeah, we're going to end the recording.
Okay.
Sabrina, end the recording. How do you want to end it today?
To say ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Love, light, and laughter.
Love, light, and laughter.
Much love, everyone. Thank you for being here with us today, and we will see you next time. Bye for now.